I have a map up here that I use to let people know where we are, and I want you to draw an imaginary line north to south, east of New Lebanon here, and then just think of that map going all the way over to Indianapolis. I've got a question to ask you. Who do you think are some of the most powerful people that there are between east of New Lebanon over to east of Indianapolis? Who are some of the most powerful people you know? That's what we're going to talk about this morning. Before we get into the lesson, I want to welcome everyone. It's so good to see the number we have. Again, I want to repeat one of the announcements. We'll have a quick meeting for the men right after the service. Thankful for James and Matt putting this switch up here. We just need to get all the men aware of that. And I've got to remember to turn it on and off, but it helps a lot instead of going up and down the steps. So who are some of the most powerful people in that area? We are. We are some of the most powerful people. And why do I say that? Because we have access to talk to God. God, the creator of the universe, the one that controls everything, the one that is sovereign, the one that controls the path of the planets and the stars, the one that causes the flower to spring up through the ground in the spring and that flower to open up. We can talk directly to God, who controls everything. James 5, let's start at verse 13. Is any among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses one to another, and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Now, who is he going to use as an example? In verse 17, Elijah. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And then it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and cover a multitude of sin. Friends, God, the God that we serve, is a prayer-hearing God. He hears our prayers. The God that we serve is a God answering, a prayer-answering God. But so many times I think we don't believe that. We don't believe that. It may be we lack faith in God. We may set limits on what God is able to do. Sometimes we think and look in the Bible and say, well, God answered this person's prayer, but he used a miracle. God's not using miracles today, so he's not going to answer my prayer. But that's one of the neat things we'll see about with Elijah. This was not a miracle with this prayer. Some people are just skeptical about prayer. And in Luke 11, verses 11 and 12, if a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer a scorpion? That sounds silly. You see some child go up to their father, and the child says, Daddy, will you give me this? Or will you get me a drink of water? Will you do this for me? And we know that the father is going to do that. how much more so our Heavenly Father, when we pray to Him, will He do for us? Again, maybe some of the times we don't pray or we don't get what we are asking for. It might be because we do not have enough faith. 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves as to whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? We need to have faith that God will hear our prayer, that God will answer our prayer. Prayer is powerful where there is faith. Where there is faith. In James, if we turn back in James to chapter 1, and let's start in verse 1. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to you. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. When we pray to God, we need to pray in faith. One of the things I call a prayer killer, you'll hear somebody pray for something, and then as soon as they get to the end of the sentence, they say, "If it be thy will." And it's almost like they're praying, not expecting God to answer. Now, we do understand that there are things according to God's will, but sometimes we just need to be patient enough and prayerful enough that we let God do what's best for us instead of talking Him out of it. It's like, we really need this, but if you don't want to do that, that's okay. We need to have faith. We need to have faith when we are praying to God. You think about, I know, can remember growing up being around more country people, farmers, and one of the topics was rain, and we need rain. We need it to stop raining. People would pray for rain. They would pray for rain. And the story is told, you know, the church that got together, a group of farmers, and they were going to pray for rain. One of them showed up with an umbrella. The rest didn't. One had faith that God would answer his prayer. The others are praying like, you know, we need rain, but if it's not your will, we understand that. James tells us the prayer of a righteous man avails much. What he says is that it avails much. He does not say that it will avail to the full extent that the person that is praying might expect or wish, but he affirms that it avails much. It may be in this way, it may be in that way, it may be in some way, but it does avail much. You think about the power of a prayer. You think about the power of a rifle. You take a rifle, you shoot a bullet toward a target. That bullet has power. It has power. What if you miss that mark? Does that bullet not have any power? It may hit another mark. It has a lot of power, though, and there is power in prayer. Part of the power is just talking to our Heavenly Father, and we need to do more of that. And myself, looking into the new year and thinking how to start off with the congregation, as I said, I want to do a series of lessons on learning some verses. I have these sheets for us tonight to start with that. Well, to continue, We need to get God's word written in our hearts, inscribed in our hearts. We need to do that. There's so much negativity out in the world. We shouldn't be listening to that. We should tune in to God's word in our heart. And we should be talking to God. And don't wait and listen to all the negative stuff and then go to God and pray about that. We do need to pray about things going on. But we need to be spending time in prayer with God constantly throughout the day. And that is part of the power of God. Just talking with Him. Do you have a close friend that you might need to talk to somebody about and you would go to and you just feel so much better after you talk to that person and you pour your heart out to them? And just think of the things you can't pour your heart out to that person with, but you can pour your heart out to God. And if you don't know the right words to use, He understands. He knows our needs. And like a loving father, He is going to answer us. So if the Bible teaches the truth, every prayer goes out of a good man's heart. It goes somewhere and it hits something. And we need to be praying. We need to be praying. It's the part of it is the power of the word. Again, just talking to God. It has a force. A prayer goes out of the heart of a good man into the world. You don't know what it's going to accomplish. Just like that bullet, you can shoot it, and you may not see where it goes, but it's going somewhere. When we pray to God, we might be aiming toward one thing, but that prayer hits something else. It may hit another person, another mark. It may hit another area. And what does it avail? It avails much. It avails much. When God, to whom prayer is offered, tells us through the Holy Spirit, that prayer is heard, it avails much. Can we believe that? Can we believe it? Just like that bullet, we can't see where that bullet goes once it's shot. We can't see that unless somebody records it and slows it down. And it's just like that prayer that we offered up to God. We can't see that, but we know there's power in that prayer. And when God answers prayer, there's power in that. Well, with Elijah here, and James talking about Elijah. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Wasn't Elijah a prophet? Didn't he work miracles? Well, yes, he did. But aren't you glad that James used this occasion of praying for rain instead of one of the miracles that Elijah worked? Let's turn back in our Old Testament to 1 Kings chapter 17 and look a little bit about this account. In 1 Kings chapter 17, and I'm just going to read some verses and summarize some sections through here so we get the background of the story. And Elijah, the Tishbite, of the inhabitants of Gilead, said to Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word." So Ahab was one of the most evil, wicked kings there was. The Israelites were practicing idolatry. Elijah goes to Ahab and he tells him, "There shall not be dew nor rain these years except by my word." Well, after he tells Ahab this, what does he have to do? He has to run and flee and get out of there because he knows his life's going to be in danger. Brother Code talked about this story several talks ago if I remember correctly, about this occasion with Elijah, and he went to a widow. And down in verse 12, so she said, "Is the Lord your God lives?" And Elijah had asked her for some bread. "I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself, my son, and we may eat it and die." And Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me. And afterward, make some for yourself and your son. For thus the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry, and the day the Lord sends rain on the earth." So what he does with this widow, that was a miracle. It was a miracle because the flour didn't run out, the oil didn't run out. Verse 15, so she went away and did according to the word of Elijah. She and her household ate for many days. The bin of the flour is not used up, nor the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. Now it happened after these things that the son of the woman who owned the house became sick. And the sickness was so serious that there was no breath left in him. So she said to Elijah, "What have I to do with you, O man of God? Have you come to bring my sin to remembrance and to kill my son?" He said to her, "Give me your son." So he took him out of her arms and carried him to the upper room, and he was staying, and laid on him on his own bed. And he cried out to the Lord and said, "O Lord, my God, have you also brought tragedy on the widow with whom I lodged by killing her son?" And he stretched himself on the child three times and cried out to the Lord and said, "O Lord, my God, I pray let this child's soul come back to him." Then the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came back, and he revived. So here we have another miracle that Elijah performs when this widow's son dies. And we need to put ourselves in these stories when we read the Bible. And we need to ask ourselves, you know, if the prophet came to ask and to us and asked us to do something that we thought would not benefit us, and here she would have starved, would we have enough faith to do what this man of God said? Would we have enough faith? She did. Well, you drop on down to chapter 18. It came to pass after many days, the word of the Lord came to Elijah the third year, saying, "Go present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the earth." So this widow has been hiding Elijah for 3 years. 3 years so Ahab would not find him and kill him. You drop on down to verse 7 and following, and he meets Obadiah. Elijah met him, he recognized him, fell on his face and said, "Is that you, my Lord Elijah?" And he answered him, "It is I. Go tell your master Elijah is here." So he said, "How have I sinned that you are delivering your servant into the hand of Ahab to kill me? As the Lord your God lives, there is no nation or kingdom where my master has not sent someone to hunt for you." And when they said, "He is not here," he took an oath from the kingdom of nation that they should not find you. And now you say, "Go tell your master Elijah is here." Elijah's been hiding for his life because Ahab wants to murder him, because Elijah prayed to God for it to stop raining. And what happened? It stopped raining. It stopped raining for 3 years. You drop on down in chapter 18, verse 17. It happened when Ahab saw Elijah. And this is a phrase we hear sometimes. He said to him, "Is that you, O troubler of Israel?" Where Ahab was calling Elijah a troublemaker. He answered, "I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house have, in that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and have followed the Baals. Now therefore, send and gather all Israel to me on Mount Carmel, the 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of Asherah who eat in Jezebel's table." So Elijah shows up to Ahab. And he says, he calls him a troublemaker. And he tells him, you go get your prophets. I'm going to meet you on Mount Carmel and we're going to settle this. Verse 20, so Ahab sent for all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together on Mount Carmel. Elijah came to all the people and said, how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. But the people answered him not a word. Reminds me of Joshua when he said, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. Elijah says, how long are you going to falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. And what did the people say? They didn't say a word. They were scared. Why were they scared to say something? Because if they said that Jehovah is God, then they would face Ahab and Jezebel and the 400 prophets. If they said Baal is God, what's Elijah going to do? He's going to keep it from raining even longer, and they would all lose their life. So he says, he asks them this question, and then he tells the people, the prophets of Baal, down in verse 25. He said to one of the prophets, choose one bull for yourself, prepare it first, for you are many, and call on the name of your God, but put no fire under it. So get this picture in your mind. They take a bull, they prepare it for the sacrifice. Verse 26, they took the bull which was given them, they prepared it and carried it on the name of Baal and called on the name of Baal from morning even till noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there is no voice, and no one answered. And they leaped about the altar which they had made. So again, they've got this sacrifice on Mount Carmel. All of Israel is assembled there. And they're shouting up and down. They're jumping up and down, calling on Baal. Verse 27. And so it was at noon, Elijah mocked them and said, cry louder, for he's a god. Either he's meditating, or he's busy, or he's on a journey, or perhaps he's sleeping and must be awakened. So he's just making fun of them, fun of these false prophets. So they cried aloud, cut themselves, as was their custom, with knives, lances, until the blood gushed out on them. And when midday was past, they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, but there was no voice, no one answered, no one paid attention. Drop down to verse 32. Elijah's getting stones for his altar. Then with the stones, he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And what did he do with this altar? He made a trench around the altar, large enough to hold two measures of seed. And he put the wood in order. He cut the bull in pieces, laid it on the wood, and said, fill four water pots with water, pour it on the burnt offerings, on the sacrifice, and on the wood. Then he said, do it a second time. And they did it a second time. And he said, do it a third time. And they did it a third time. So water ran all around the altar. He also filled the trench with water. So he has his sacrifice there, and he has it soaked with water. The Baals had their sacrifice. They yelled and screamed and cut themselves all day. Nothing happened. Verse 37, Elijah speaks. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God, that you have turned their hearts back to you again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is God, the Lord, he is God. And Elijah said to them, seize the prophets of Baal, do not let one of them escape. So they seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook of Kishon and executed them there. So with this contest, the prophets of Baal nothing happens to their sacrifice. The sacrifice of Elijah that's soaked in water, fire comes down and catches everything on fire. Was that a miracle? That was a miracle. That's not going to happen naturally. And again, aren't you glad that James didn't use this example to tell us about prayer? But he said Elijah was a man of natural passion just like us. He's talking about when Elijah was not doing something miraculous, but just as himself, the righteous man, the fervent prayer of a righteous man praying to God. In chapter 18, verse 41, then Elijah said to Ahab, "Go up, eat and drink, for there's the sound of abundance of rain." So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees and said to a servant, "Go now, look toward the sea." So he went up and looked and said, "There's nothing." And seven times he said, "Go again." And it came to pass the seventh time that he said, "There is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea." So he said, "Go, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you." Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain, and Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. Then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. So Elijah prays, and rain comes. Now, what made this drought? Was it a miracle, or was it something natural? Just stop and think here in New Lebanon. What if it didn't rain for a week? Is that a miracle? No. What if it didn't rain for a month? Is that something miraculous? No, that's just natural. What if it didn't rain for a year? It's still not a miracle. It's still not a miracle. It was by natural causes. Natural causes, but Elijah prayed to God to use those natural causes. It's just like when we looked at Joseph and the providence of God in Joseph, God getting Abraham's family down to Egypt, and through Jacob, there were no miracles involved. It was all natural occurrences. And when this rain came, was it by a miracle? Did it just, when Elijah prayed, did it just start pouring down out of the sky? No. There was a cloud. Now, the servant said, "Go up now, look toward the sea." So he went and looked, and he said, "There's nothing." And he kept doing that. With this, I get the idea, you know, we've got to be patient with our prayers. Sometimes we'll pray, we want it answered yesterday, but we've got to be patient. God sent this cloud, and it was rain. The ground, the land was watered again. Well, the power of a prayer of a righteous man. What does that mean to us? Friends, we've got a lot of things we need to be praying for. We've got a lot of things going on with each other. When we look at everybody's health, with things that are going on with members' relatives, with things going on in the community, do our prayers mean anything? Or is it just something just like, well, we came and I went to the building today, I can check that off the list, and we pray today and check that off the list. Is that going to avail anything? No, it's got to be the fervent prayer of a righteous person. And again, like we've been talking about with characters in Genesis, God desires righteous people to worship Him. And He desires a relationship with righteous people. The power of a prayer of a righteous man. We need to consider this going into the new year as we're looking for souls. We've been putting things on the community page. This is an old video. I shared it, I think, Wednesday. And then yesterday I shared it on the community page. It went to 811 people. 811 people that saw it. That what's going to come of it, I don't know. It's like shooting that bullet. We don't know what's going to come out of it. But when we read the list and say, pray for the efforts that are going on in the community, this is one of the things we need to be praying for. A couple people liked it. One of them was Laura's brother that responded. And one of them, I checked the person, and he goes to the Brethren Church. So people see these things. I've been doing these Journey Through Acts. It's a little 60-second slide video. Again, we've been getting 500, 600, 700 people look at these things every week. We need to be praying for this. When we talked in the business meeting several weeks ago about when we finish Psalms, to start a lesson on Revelation on Wednesday evening, when we do that, I want to do the slide series again, trying to get interest in the community for people to come. I saw something the other day. It was some type of app to schedule for your business. And I thought, well, I don't need an app to do that. So I made up a little flyer I'll put out at the beginning of the year. Want to understand the Bible better? Schedule a small group Bible study. Schedule a small group Bible study one-on-one or up to six people. And then how to contact us. So hopefully we'll get some responses. Hopefully we'll have some other people to help carry this out. All of these things we need to be praying for. We need to be praying for. The power of a prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We need to pray in the morning. We need to pray with confidence. We need to pray at noontime. We need to pray down when we go to sleep. We need to pray when we wake up. We need to pray often. We need to pray earnestly. We need to be righteous people so that our prayers will be heard. We need to get to know each other better so we know what to pray for each other. And I talked to a couple people, so I don't want to embarrass anybody, but everybody here has a specific need, a different need. A lot of us old people have health problems we need praying for. And I hope you pray for me that I'll have good health and a sound mind that I can preach for a long time. People have different needs here. Brother David, we should be praying that he finds a godly woman. That's been on his heart. We should be praying. You know who some of the most powerful people are between here and Indianapolis? We are, right here. We are. We can pray for each other, for the needs of each other. Chelsea and Matt are blessed. They're expecting a child. We should pray for them. Pray for them that everything goes well and that they'll raise up a godly child in the Lord. We have new couples here to pray for. We have children here to pray for. We need to get beyond just the surface things. The power of a prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We need to get God's word in our heart, and we need to talk to God, and it will bring about change. Friends, God hears and answers the prayers of His children. Just like a child praise to the Father for something, and the Father is going to give it to him, God is going to answer our prayers. It may not be exactly what we're looking for or when we're looking for. And like with these things that I've mentioned, some of the efforts we're doing around, again, I wish they'd happen right now. But then I know when we sing the song, are we sowing the seed? When we sow the seed, it takes time to prepare the soil. If we don't prepare the soil, that seed's not going to take root. When we sow the seed, it's going to take time. Then when that seed germinates and comes up, it's going to take time to nurture those plants, those converts, to help them grow. God will help us with that. And as his children, we must trust him and know that he is going to answer our prayers and answer them in the best way possible for us. For the best way possible for us. And then we focus on faithfully serving him, praying always, and submitting to his will in all things. Then, with many of the things in prayer, one of the ways God answers prayer is through our hands in our lives. We get down on our knees to pray, and then we get up to work for what we prayed for. We don't pray to God to give us our daily bread and sit down and wait for it to fall through our roof. We pray to God. God's going to answer our prayers. But again, he's not going to answer it miraculously. He's going to answer our prayers through each one of us here helping each other. Friends, that's a wonderful blessing that we have, and it's a blessing that will help us get through today, help us to get through next year. It will help us if we are a child of God. Amen. But if we aren't a child of God, our prayers aren't going to go any higher than the ceiling. If we aren't a righteous person, our prayers aren't going to go any higher than the ceiling. Friends, don't you want to be a child of God? Yes, enjoy all of his blessings. Somebody needs to respond to the gospel invitation. We invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.